Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, Peas. Before we get into today's episode, we just wanted to mention that we are going to deal with infant loss, and we're going to talk about a lot of the trauma that goes around that. We're talking to Mandy's beautiful cousin, and we're talking about how her life has been shaped out of that happening to her. So if that's something that's just really tricky for you to listen to at the moment, this is a trigger warning for you, and maybe you can come back and listen next week.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today we're speaking to my beautiful cousin Janelle, who has been through infant loss and who is a psychologist.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Kate.
The sun is out.
I know.
We're not rubbing it in Brisbane, who I know you've had rain for 6 months, but
when the sun's out in Melbourne in June, we are happy.
Because it's cold.
Cold.
It's proper cold.
Yeah, and the kids are all like, we've been in lockdown for 2 years. We're so cold.
I've been getting
text messages about how cold they are at school. And
I know. P-friend Lorraine went to Costco for me yesterday and bought a whole box of hand warmers.
Yes. I need to get some, actually.
Yes, they're really good. They're at Costco. Yeah. They're cheaper there.
Because Miss Eleven's like, my friends have hand warmers and we've been stealing them.
I know. Yeah. They're beautiful. Woody did tell me you can get electronic ones and you plug them in overnight and then you use them every day.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, so we used to only use them at the snow, but now we've graduated to being soft because we were home for 2 years and it's so nice to put your hands in your pockets and they're warm.
We are cold people.
We are, and they, you know, they walk around at lunchtime.
Yeah, you forget that.
Freezing. Anyway, well, that's your Melbourne weather
for
today.
Alert.
It's cold. It's been snowing everywhere and, yeah, it's freezing.
I've been seeing people in America on their Facebook, so the sun's out.
I know. I know.
It's so weird when we're so cold.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, welcome to everybody who's listening today.
Yes, welcome.
All around the world.
Welcome if you found us from a billboard.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. We are on a billboard.
We are on Sydney and Melbourne and a whole lot of unis.
My word.
I know. I thought maybe I'll go and try and find one.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple in the actual city that we could sort of stand
I think we
near.
Can put my dad onto that.
Oh, yeah. Go on, Graham.
He's got some time. Maybe he can come find it.
That's one of the few comments he's ever written on Instagram. Where is this?
He loves the roads. He used to know the whole Melways. You
all
know,
right. Well, we've got a list. I think
okay, I'll give him the list.
Seven in Melbourne.
Yes, that's what I'm going to do.
He can go and find them all.
Anybody, people, take photos. Yeah, don't have an accident. Photos. But no, if you're parked at the lights and you can quickly take, no, don't, because then you'll get a fine.
No, if you're passenger. If you're
passenger.
Passengers can take photos. Nobody else. I think most of them are on like freeways, so I think it's going to be tricky. But there are a couple in the middle of the city.
Don't be impulsive.
No, don't.
But we couldn't believe it. We had the photo shoot, a couple of months ago?
I think so.
Yeah, so Acast has given us this opportunity.
It's incredible.
We didn't really believe it till we saw it.
Well.
Or maybe I didn't. And
it's
then
just unreal. It
just started appearing in the emails and here's the photo we've chosen and here's what that's going to look like. We were like, okay.
I know. It's a great honour.
It is a great honour.
Oh, there's one. If you're in the city of Melbourne, there's one at the Emporium.
Okay.
Melbourne Lonsdale Street. Okay. So that one, I think.
If you're walking around the city, you could stand there until it flicks over.
Yes. And I think there's also on the corner of Elizabeth and Burke at the Galleria building.
Okay.
I know.
Amazing.
So I will, I don't know how long they'll be up there for. I assume not long because I think they're very expensive. But if you've found us from a billboard, hello, I'm Kate.
Hello, I'm Mandy. I'm wearing the orange. Kate's wearing the green in the logo.
Yes, in the picture. Yeah. Oh, yeah, people don't know who we are.
I know. Yep. Anyway, so let's get on to today.
Yes.
We have got my beautiful cousin. I've been wanting to have her in the pod bar for a long time. She's been a really loyal and kind listener and a beautiful cousin to me.
Yes. Welcome.
She's already crying.
Of laughter.
Actually, as well. Hello, Janelle.
Hello, Mandy. Hello, Kate.
Hello. Oh. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I just feel like I know you're my cousin, Mandy.
Yeah.
And Kate, but because I listen to you, this is just like, I'm just here.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just them.
Yeah,
I freaked out when I first came into the pub and went, oh, my goodness.
But now it's fine.
Yeah, now it's fine. Yeah.
All right.
And you have the joy of being able to interject. You go, no. It's not right. I'm going to actually put my opinion in.
This is your chance.
That's the annoying thing about podcasts when you're like, no, I could tell you something about that.
So obviously I've known you my whole life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're still going to ask our three questions.
Yeah, we sure are.
That's how you have to. Doesn't matter.
Let's
go. Each other from birth. Okay.
Yep. I didn't know Janelle, but she's older than me.
Yeah.
I am. Oh, well, she knew you.
Yeah, she's known me my whole life.
Yeah. She's more my age.
Yes, that's right.
I was flower girl at Mandy's mum and dad's wedding.
How cute. Have you got a photo of that?
Oh, we should find it somewhere.
Yes, I'm sure.
My other cousin Wendy, who does listen as well. So they were both flower girls.
In our blue. Yeah, anyway.
Floral or just plain?
No, just plain.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What year would have that been?
Oh, a long time ago.
75, I think, because I was born in 76 and I think I was, whoops a daisy.
You're there. Hello, who's Mandy? You're a blessing.
I was.
Such a blessing.
Huge.
She was a big blessing to our family, our whole family.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Especially at Christmas time, but that's another story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, so our first question is, do you have any music or a song that either gets you up in the good times or sort of lifts you during the bad times?
Yeah, I do. It's not just one song. I am an ABBA tragic.
Oh, yes.
And so just to be able to flick that on and it doesn't matter because, like, you know every single lyric.
Yes.
And you can sing along and you can bop along. And even driving here today, I was listening. Thank you for the music.
Yeah.
Because they've got their new, you know, Voyage.
Yeah, we have to go to that.
Oh, I am.
Yeah, I really want to.
Now my
go
daughter's
too.
Going over to London.
Oh, yeah. Go. Apparently it eventually will come here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's a purpose-built arena there,
it
I
is.
Think.
It's incredible. Is it? Yeah. And with their avatars that they've got, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway. So anything to do with ABBA. But then also recently, thanks to my daughter, she's introduced me to just local Australian artists because she's right into the gig world.
Yeah.
And so we actually had this guy called Kyle Lionheart, who is a Byron Bay artist, come to our place and play a gig. It was like a gig at home. It was the most amazing thing.
Wow.
And so actually his music, so if you've never heard of Kyle Lionheart, this is a little shout out to him because he's just so incredible, got me through COVID as well.
What ABBA song will we put on the two-piece playlist?
Oh, goodness me. Take your pick.
You take your pick.
I really like Chiquitita.
Okay, I like that too.
Pop that on, Annalise.
Yeah. I don't think we've got any ABBA on there.
I don't think we do.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. But it always gets everyone on the dance floor.
Oh, totally. I love them.
Oh, yeah. How can you not?
So does Lorraine.
Oh, Lorraine.
We were talking about it on the weekend.
Okay. P-friend Lorraine.
Private little joke.
Just said she really loves which one?
I don't know.
Benny.
Benny. And we were like, what?
And she's like, no, he's so attractive. We're like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You've got a fan here, Lorraine.
Yeah.
Yep. So Mandy just keeps sending us at night time. Mandy will just send a photo.
Because I said, have a good time in bed, Lorraine. So remember in Canberra, and I was in the other room and I sent a photo
of you. Just hear the laughing through the wall. It was very, very funny.
Anyway,
okay, you know, like school camp.
I'm sure there's an answer for this. Did you win any awards at school?
Yeah, I did. So I went to MLC.
Yes.
And for people that know me, they know that my dad was a minister in the church.
Yeah.
And so my one award that I won at MLC was for RE.
Ah, yes.
You would have just.
He was so proud.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't tell him. And so at the awards ceremony, and so all of my friends, they're getting up for awards for like English and maths and all of this sort of stuff. And Janelle gets up for RE.
Well, religious to him, that would education. Have been the most important award there was.
So there you go. Anyway, but that was my.
The whole family would have been pumped about that.
I blitzed. I actually chose to do like religion as a year 12 VCE subject.
Yeah, it would have been easy.
Blitzed it.
But I don't think I shouldn't say this, but. I just think my teacher just loved it, the fact that I was a minister's daughter.
Yes. Oh.
So there you go. Anyway, but there you go.
No, that's I was indoctrinated.
Yeah, but you would have known stuff.
Yeah, I know. I probably did know stuff.
Anyway. Yeah. I remember that in primary school. I was like, hand up for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew everything. Okay, so that's the first award for religious education.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Oh,
well, there you go.
Congratulations.
I got an award for that then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And our big question is, why are you a PE or a member of our PE community?
I am a therapy.
Yes. Yes,
you are a therapy. So
I'm an educational and developmental psychologist and have my own private practice here in Park Orchards in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And have six other beautiful therapies working with me.
Wow. It's quite a big practice.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's big, but not huge.
No, I mean, not massive, but that's.
Yeah, it is. And it's lovely. So, yeah, that's why. I'm the therapy.
Yeah.
And I'm Angie's cousin.
That's right.
So we're going to go back, though,
yep.
to talk a little bit about something that was profound.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry.
Life-changing.
Yeah.
That's
okay. So
I'll cry too, but that's all right.
Of course, that's fine. That's who we are.
I don't know why we haven't got tissues on this table.
And I think you, in your own words, that this was such a profoundly life-changing moment that then it changed everything about you. Which then led you into becoming a therapy or a psychologist.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in your own words, would you like to take us through that?
Yep, time? I can do that. Yep. So I got married at 21, which was what you used to do.
Yes, yes.
In the church too.
And my first degree was a teaching degree. So I guess I, you know, could be a teacher as well.
Yes, of course.
But it was a teaching degree in Japanese and history. Mm-hmm. So I only ever taught Japanese because nobody ever wanted you to teach history if you could teach
Japanese.
Yeah, so I went in and did that. Then I got pregnant with my beautiful first son who is now 28 and went on maternity leave and, you know, didn't do anything and all of that sort of thing. When I say didn't do anything, I had a baby and everything else that went with that. And then
– But you're also married to a doctor.
I am married to a doctor.
Yeah, so you worked long hours.
Long hours, yes. Mm. Yeah. Still does.
Yes.
So, but that's well, I've been married to a doctor.
Yeah.
Then got pregnant with my our second baby and –
How old was your...
So Luke was 18 months old. Oh, no, that was 18 months old back then. Yeah, about 18 months old.
Yeah.
So this and then we're talking, so that was 1993.
Yep.
1995, pregnant with my second baby that was due in July. Events of that day was going down to meet my mum at the Pines, which is a shopping centre on a Friday, like you do.
Yep.
And the last thing I remember was a car that looked like Mum's, a white Skyline, on the wrong side of the road coming towards me.
So like on the back streets around there?
So
it's quite, for those of you who live nowhere near here, it's quite windy and it's quite a populated area.
Yeah.
But that's just a two-lane,
road. So... I was 26 weeks pregnant at the time and I remember a crash. I think that was probably
all I can remember.
And was your son in the car?
He was, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, I remember trying to tell the Ambos, because they asked me who they could contact, and so I gave them Andrew's work number. And
so you were awake?
I was, yeah, yeah. And I was, because I was caught, like, making sure that, because he was only 18 months in the car seat, yeah, that he was okay. But then I can't remember much. And so it's really interesting, like, even telling my story again, because I don't know whether some of the memories are my memories or what other people have told me.
Well, memory is so fallible. So.
It is, yeah, yeah, absolutely. So then I remember waking up in hospital and being told that, we'd had a daughter. But that she hadn't survived the accident. And I was pretty physically as well. So, I mean, I've been given a second chance of life. Hey, yes. You know, that's, you know, it's pretty good.
Yeah, but
a lot of physical injuries as well. Yeah. Anyway, we named our daughter Jessica. And so she was born with an emergency cesarean. Apparently they wanted to have me induced and to deliver naturally, but I think Andrew said no, because I had a lot of physical injuries. So my face hit the steering wheel. So
this is pre-airbags.
It is pre-airbags, yeah, and that's what I say. I say I'm a walking advertisement for an airbag because my face was the plastic surgeon spoke about it being like an open book. So I had it gone and I just opened up right, just like a flap. So now I've had six entrances. I've had all of my, you know, my beauty reconstructions. All my work's been done. So my nose is my rib, and like the inside of my nose is like lining from my mouth as well.
And is there ongoing things, issues that you have?
Not being able to breathe properly at night. I've had the most, and it wasn't recent, it was like 2011, I think, was the last operation I had to open up the airways again. Really, it's just something that you accept and move on from. I think the greatest trauma was in losing Jess, and knowing that it was not my fault, but
preventable.
It was just a guy speeding. And back then too, because we're talking 1995, it wasn't class. Oh well, the police didn't investigate the markings on the road straight away either. Anyway, that's another whole story. But we had to go through the coroner's court and all of that. And thankfully they said that there was nothing, you know, that was not my fault. We had a lot of witnesses and all of that as well. But
so did he go to jail? So he couldn't be charged?
No, nothing, nothing.
He didn't go to jail?
No, nothing. There was nothing. There was no – and, you know, I often sometimes – because you look for something to blame or someone to blame.
Yeah.
But I know he was an older guy, and I have to tell myself he didn't go out that day to do what happened. Sometimes I get angry, don't get me wrong. I do get angry because that's a normal emotion.
So apart from all the other physical things, you also had a cesarean. How long were you sort of unconscious or
I think only I don't know that I was unconscious. Oh, see, I don't even know. Yeah. I was in high dependency.
Yeah.
I remember coming in and out. I remember people coming and visiting, sort of.
There would have been so much pain relief as well.
Who told you that she died?
Yeah,
I think it was Andrew. Yeah. She was in the unit with me for a couple of days, I think. And so we've got lots of photos, with the family and things like that. But I still can't remember or whether it's the, you know, the photos and the video.
Response too.
Yeah, I think so. Knowing what I now know.
Yes.
You had a ceremony for her though. We did, mum and dad went.
Yeah, they did, in the hospital. Yeah. I can't remember much of that either. I remember not going to the cemetery where she's buried, and we actually chose to bury her with Mandy and my grandparents. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So she's up there with Nana and Papa.
Yeah.
At Lilydale.
Lilydale.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And yeah, we couldn't go to the cemetery because it was too final, I think, for me.
Oh,
yeah. So, yes. It was sort of looking back on it now. And I said to Mandy in a message the other day, I said, oh, I've got a diary.
Yeah, okay.
I kept a diary.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I did keep a diary at that stage, but I did. But it's incredible to read back now. Maybe
someone said to you, write this down.
Yeah. And just rereading, you just think, oh, wow. I was enormous. Enormous. So the first entry was 3 weeks after the accident, all the way through to the time, I think the very last entry, there was big gaps as well, but was when I finally did get pregnant with then our third baby, and that was in 1997. He was born 1998.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, there was a lot of physical stuff that I had to get over.
Yes.
But a huge amount of emotion.
Oh.
Like, you know, and even then when I was pregnant with my third, it was the anxiety.
Oh, I can't even.
Yeah, was like, you know, what's going to go wrong? Yeah. Is something else going to go
wrong?
And
were you terrified driving?
Oh, I couldn't get back into a car for ages. And for a long time I couldn't go past
where the accident
was.
No.
Ironically now I drive past it like every single day almost because it's near where work is.
Yeah.
And to get from my parents' place to my house, it's that. But I couldn't. I used to have to take so for people that do know around this area, it was on Falconer Road in Park Orchards.
Yep.
And I had turned left from Ringwood Warrandyte Road and it was sort of just up on the bend. I used to go all the way. If I was coming back from Mum and Dad's in Templestowe, I'd turn off at Knees Road and come down Milne Road and do the big, long route loop back down to Warrandyte. But it was funny. I couldn't get into a car for a long time, and I remember that even the car salesman saying afterwards, "You've got to get back. Like, what do? You've got to get back on." And I thought, don't just tell me that. It's not as easy as just getting back on a horse. Mate? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The most traumatic thing that's ever going to happen to me in a car.
Yeah.
And it's not like they could say, oh, well, we'll give you a safe car no.
But I won't. Yeah. There's no way we will compromise on anything now, even with our own kids. But airbags are all.
Yeah. How did you keep going with Luke parenting him? He was 18 months.
Oh, it was so hard.
Yeah.
So hard. For the first, probably about 3 months. I think I had someone in the house every day with me.
You would have to.
And a lot of that too was just to make sure I was okay.
Yeah,
because I wasn't okay. Anymore.
No, of course you weren't.
That was when my first time that I went and saw a psychologist.
Yeah.
And then put on antidepressants, which I think helped at that.
Yeah,
at
definitely.
That time. So, it was hard. It
you
was
need as much as you can just to get you through.
Yeah. And, you know, because your natural instinct is I'm a mum.
Yeah.
I need to be a mum to this little boy that was, still
also
in nappies.
Also going through trauma.
Yeah, absolutely. And, oh, look, honestly, he only had a few bruises, like the straps of those car seats, because he could have been because it was sort of head on.
Yeah.
He could have been a lot worse. So, I was reading through the diary, and there was a story there that I'd completely forgotten about, and he'd fallen down the stairs one day, and I had home help that TAC provided.
Oh,
home help, and he didn't want her; he just wanted me, and I couldn't hold him, and it was awful. Anyway, and Andrew was at work, so
yes, of course. Yeah, well, also you still need money.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the thing
that's
with trauma when people go, oh, just stay home for. Well, how?
And I think it's really hard. I can't speak for Andrew, but even just doing what I'm doing now and hearing stories, it's really hard for the other partner because the focus is on the person that has been through that trauma. And sometimes, especially for dads, they're almost forgotten. But I know, you know, it affected him incredibly as well.
So. Imagine the phone call.
Oh, he talks about that often.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he knows, having worked in A&E, accident emergency, what it means.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he met you at the hospital?
I think he was taken to Box Hill by ambulance.
Oh.
Yeah. I think he probably kicked into professional mode.
Probably.
Cope, absolutely. Did you get any thumbprints of her? I know you got photos.
Yeah. I've got them here, actually.
Oh, have you?
Show us.
So this is something that, you know, in the work that I do now, even though I'm an ed and dev psych, I still see a lot of mums and females with pregnancy loss.
Yeah.
So this is my beautiful box, my keepsake box.
Yeah.
And it's got sort of everything in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so here we go.
Yeah.
So you can open that. They're her little clothes.
Did you know that you were having a baby girl?
No, I didn't. And so then, yeah.
Pink beanies and
little they're tiny, aren't foodies. They? Yeah, tiny.
Precious.
So when we did fall pregnant with our third, I found out what I was having.
Yeah, it changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then in between, there we go.
It's a... Her footprints and her handprints.
Yeah. And I think it's really important that they did.
620 grams.
Yeah, which is
29
tiny.
29 centimetres. And her head was 22 centimetres.
Look at her little feet.
Yeah, the tiny.
We would love to put that up somewhere, a photo of that if you.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. And I think it's really, at the time it was really, like, it's painful to see all of this and look at all of this.
Yeah.
But, I'm so glad that I've got this now. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
And so I think I would encourage anyone that is going through this, as hard as it is, even if you don't get it yourself, you get someone close to you to have these memories. Because, we're talking 1995 and what are we now? You know, 2022. To be able to have this, because this is all we've got.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And I remember once coming to your house and there's a beautiful photo of her and I think you told the story of how someone came in and said, oh, why have you got that photo up?
Yeah, that's the most morbid thing I've ever seen.
What is wrong with people? Are you still friends with that person?
they were holding their newborn baby as well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, it's I was so angry, and very hurt. But looking back on it now and knowing what I know, that people just don't know what
they don't know
what to say. So whatever comes out just comes out.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
As you know.
Yes.
And
we don't talk about death.
No one talks about death.
We don't talk about it.
Absolutely. Mm. And even, you do lose friends.
Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah, because of that reason.
Yeah.
It's too hard. I don't want to talk about this because I'm going to upset Janelle or I'm going to upset Andrew.
Yeah, I've got my babies.
And all of that. I remember that year so many people being pregnant.
Yes.
So many people. It was incredible because we were still involved. We're not involved in the church anymore, but we were back then. And so many people from the church were having babies.
Yeah.
And rereading the diary, I realised it was six people.
That's a lot.
But they were all boys.
Wow.
Not girls.
Well, that's good.
Interesting. Yeah. So, yeah, it was.
And was the church supportive? Did they do meal trains?
They were incredible.
Yeah.
They were incredible. But then, there's the few that, said, this is God's punishment on you because, they were going through a church split at the time and politics and all this sort of stuff. I remember.
How do those words come out of people's mouths?
Because they just do. Yeah.
It's evil.
But I remember the interim minister at the time coming around to visit and he just said to me, he goes, you know what? He said, I can't say anything. He goes, but in life shit happens.
Yes.
Finally. And you know what? Finally, it was the only thing that anyone had said.
Yeah.
That actually went, yeah, you know what?
It is. It does.
In life shit happens and, sorry, Auntie Margaret. And,
I think she would agree.
And that it's cruel.
It's cruel.
It can be so cruel.
And there's no reason. I have a real issue with people saying, there's a reason for everything. No, there's not.
No.
And once you've been through some unexpected trauma, you're like, oh, no, there's no reason.
What's that?
Things may have changed. I may be a different person because of it, but... Mm. There's no reason. I know a lot of Bible verses. I've probably forgotten most of them, but there's a verse in the Bible that says the rain falls on the just and the unjust, so the good people and the bad people. They both get it's the same. Yeah. And it's the one thing that I'm like, that's true.
Yep.
You know, because a lot of Christians have the, oh, pray and God will protect you and your guardian angels. But actually, we both get wet when it rains.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you do. Mm. Yeah. And, so I cannot fault the church back then.
No,
it
no.
was just, you know, that there was a lot of lovely people and I wouldn't have got through had it not been.
Oh, churches are amazing
for that. Like that.
And you had a great church.
But times have moved on with that part of my life. So
when I had the girls and they were born prematurely, Janelle was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, weren't you?
Yeah. I was, yeah. I still feel a bit of, guilt that I wasn't there all the time. Oh, but then I know, we all have stuff.
Yeah, and you had
stuff going on.
Oh, you were there enough.
Yeah.
Brought me the beautiful outfits that they went home in.
Oh,
Came
I got those in Broome.
Yeah, in Broome, that's right.
Yes.
And I remember Mum said to me that that when she told you that I'd had the girls, you said, oh, I know how little they would be. I can picture it. Yeah.
So what's the, how many years, like 10?
Well, 1993.
Oh, so
and then I had them in 2005. Yeah.
So 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's not really that long. And how old was your youngest? Like what's the?
So first one's 28, and then the next one is 20. I've got to do my maths. Yep. 24. On the 13th of June, actually, coming up very quickly. Yeah.
And then the youngest. And Kate's 21.
Yeah, she's 21. So, and we found out that she was a girl, but we didn't tell anyone.
No.
And I remember, one of the stories my dad tells everybody is when Mum phoned him and said, her name is.
Oh.
Like, he just, just went.
Would have cried.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And did you, don't have to answer this, but did you care at all what the gender of the baby was after you?
No. Not at all. No.
Yeah.
I had a miscarriage as well between number three and number four.
Yeah.
I remember on my 30th birthday being in having a DNC.
Yeah. Women.
Yes.
What women go through.
That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't. And it was funny because Andrew had always said that he wanted five kids. And I said, I'm not having five kids. I don't want five kids.
It's too many.
Yeah. And I said, no, let's just go an even number.
Yeah.
Thinking four.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, you know how you have these talks before you have kids and all that. And then he goes, no, all right, six.
Six.
Yeah. And I went, oh, gosh. Anyway, but then after the accident.
Knowing he's going to be at work all day, every day.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Long hours. And he used to deliver babies too. No, no, thank you. And then he went, no. So,
Well,
and then I got told by the obstetrician after I had Caitlin, no more.
Okay.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
So did you have cesareans with them because of?
No. So Locke, he was 9 pounds, 4.5, and I don't know how I pushed him out, but I did.
Wow.
So that was really good. But Caitlin ended up being a cesarean as well because I went into labour with her 2 weeks early and they were worried about this scar.
Rupturing.
Yeah. Because it wasn't a it was the traditional Caesar from my belly button down. So
Is that how they did the second one as well?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
Because I don't have another scar. Yeah. Across the other way. Oh, do I? I don't know. I don't even know. Okay.
Have a look when I get home.
Yeah.
That's right.
How did you get through when you had Lockie and parenting a birth after a death of a child?
Oh, that was
holding
tough.
Holding him.
Yeah. So much
all
guilt
that.
Right. As well, and wonder what, the thought that am I good enough to be able to be this mum to this little boy? Mm. Yeah. It was hard. It was hard. But then also, you have those two sides. So grateful, so thankful that you've got this baby. In your arms. But it was tough. So.
Yeah, because
and he was a lively little one too.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
But you can't. I don't know. I've never lost a child, but I don't know how you can't not think of that other child constantly.
Oh no, you don't. You always.
Yeah.
It's So I often talk about how now looking back, that and Andrew does too, in terms of our lives as being a portrait.
Yeah.
And at the time of the accident, the time of losing Jess, it was the only thing that we could see. It was there. Yes. It was in your face. It was huge.
Yes.
Everything.
Yep.
But that over time, it becomes part of the portrait, and the rest of life takes
that's
over.
Still there.
Yeah. But at times, it becomes the whole portrait again. Yeah.
Like anniversaries.
Hate, yeah. Hate Mother's Day. Yeah. Yeah. Her birthday, 24th of March, 1995.
Yeah.
So things like that, you know, or when I hear other people go through similar or any sort of infant loss. So, yeah, it brings it all back,
Oh, yeah.
And it's that vicarious trauma that you go through. And looking back on it now, you know, I was put on antidepressants because of the accident. I would say now that I had PTSD, but I never knew that.
Yes.
Never knew that.
Of course you would have.
Yeah, yeah. So,
because just the accident on its own.
Yeah. But you have to just keep going on.
Yeah.
You know, you just do.
You're a mum.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So, anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Huge. Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, Mandy and I have a couple of friends who've had, you know, children, babies die. And even just as an outsider, rectums, when it comes to that, it changed our life, like really profoundly changed my life. And
well, it changed our whole family, didn't it? The entire family was changed that day too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because everyone was so sad and worried for you.
I was reading in my the diary the other day too. It was 5 weeks after, and I've got down. Uncle Graham just called because he's been thinking. He's at work, and he was just thinking of me, and he just wanted to check in with us. Wasn't that? Yeah. So thank you, Uncle Graham.
That's kind.
Yeah,
it does come through the good sometimes.
I mean, you can imagine now, because we're sort of that age, that maybe your parents were young, but thinking, oh, how do I possibly support my niece and my daughter how do I let them know? Because it's not okay. You can't say, this is going to be fine.
No, that's right.
And in 2 years you'll be fine. This is never going to be okay.
No.
You'll never be okay with this. I think to someone you love going through that must be really, really tricky.
Yeah, I think I mean, everyone was just wonderful, you know, immediate family.
Yeah.
And the support we had. TAC doctors, on the other hand. So that was it.
Rectums.
Yeah, absolutely, rectums. Yep. Because so I still don't have 100% feeling on this side of the face.
Yeah.
And so Andrew will often go like this to me. Which
you've
is
got food on
because I've got food on my
rubbing her moustache. Yeah. She doesn't have, clearly,
That because I don't know if my nose is running or if I've got food or something like that.
Yeah.
Because the nerves were severed. So, yeah, it was having to, just because of systems, you know. So you have to go to the TAC doctors.
Yes, yes.
And so I had to have, they put needles into you to make sure that what
you
I
can
was,
feel.
Yeah, what I was telling them was the truth and all that. And the psychiatrist, because you had to go and see a psychiatrist too back then, just said to me, oh, he goes, well, you're young, you'll have another one, that's okay,
you'll be fine.
Went, no,
I want that baby girl,
and it was absolutely, but it was at that moment that I thought, you know what, I can do better than that.
Yes.
I'm not you can't say that to people.
No,
and so that was at the time when I thought, you know what, I'm going to go into counselling.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I did, because I was still on maternity leave and all that. And but I'm talking about, because this is over the time when between losing Jess and then I was having, so we're talking, you know, about a 6-7 year period before any of this sort of came up, but you still go through it. And then I started counselling, actually went, Caitlin was a 3-year-old kinder. Was at the time when I thought, you know what, I can go back now. I had been doing CRT work a little bit, but not too much, because this is why I love working with kids still, because they're so honest.
Yeah.
And even when I was teaching, Mrs. McDonald, what happened to your face?
Yes.
Like, because, you know, because back then it was still, I mean,
Scars take a long time to
they
not
do,
be
yeah.
red,
yeah.
don't
yeah.
they?
And one plastic surgeon recently said to me, oh, you've got an asymmetrical face. So that was a nice way of putting it. But the kids would go, Mrs. McDonald, what's the matter with your face? What happened to your face?
Yes.
So then I went in and did counselling and then from there decided, well, I might as well go the full hog and do psychology. So
did you do Is it like a 2-year grad dip if you're a teacher, or do you do the full?
No, I did the full hog. Yeah, wow. So I did.
It's very hard to become a registered psychologist.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. It's a minimum 6 years training.
Yeah.
And, wow.
And then I did a further 2 years to get endorsement as an educational and developmental.
It's really hard to get that endorsement or your master's, or I don't know how it all works, but I know I've got a friend and they're like, oh, it's so hard. Yeah.
It is hard.
Because heaps of people do psychology, but there's not heaps of psychologists.
Yeah. No, because a lot of people do. yes or no.
Yes.
So you can do a 3-year undergrad degree.
Yes.
And then you do your 4th year as honours or a postgrad, which is what I did.
Yep.
And then you do your master's. And so because of my teaching background, I decided to stick with the educational and developmental psychology stream as opposed to clinical.
You must see a lot of pea shoots.
I do.
Yeah.
We're bread and butter.
Yeah.
We do.
We've knocked on the odd educational psychologist's door.
Yeah, I reckon.
Lots of assessments.
Well,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What made you decide to start your own business as opposed to just, like, did you work for yourself first? Or?
So I just hired a room out of my husband's GP practice.
Yeah, that's right.
And got busy.
Yeah. That sounds rude. Yeah. I'm sorry. It was just like, have you seen The Incredibles?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm going. Where he goes, Elastigirl married what's his name?
I can't remember.
Mr. Incredible and got busy and then the three kids.
Well, there you go.
Well, sorry.
We did that too. Yeah. I digress.
Yeah. Anyway, that's okay.
That is a great movie.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I haven't seen that for years. Anyway.
It's good.
And then brought on another psychologist because I just needed.
Still working at that practice.
At that practice, yeah. Yep. Another one.
Yeah.
And then one left and went back to the UK and then brought in another one and then outgrew that one room and decided to, buy a little shop front.
Yeah,
and
that's a huge move.
It was,
huge.
So, now we're busy.
Tell us the name of your business.
And it's Jigsaw Psychology.
So proud.
Yeah.
I send everyone to you.
Yeah. And what's your waiting list post-pandemic?
We want to hear about pandemic life, though.
I know that we haven't quite got there yet, but I just know that everyone that's trying to get in to see anyone, even in the hangout, they're like, does anyone know a psychologist? Does anyone know a pediatrician? Yeah. It's just heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking, and it's heartbreaking for us as therapies as well.
Yes.
Because we signed up to this to be able to help. And, like, who knew that I'd be a psychologist in a pandemic.
Yeah.
And then the flow on effects that it's had for everybody.
Everyone.
Not just the pea shoots.
Yes.
But
the whole family.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Our wait list is not at what it was because we closed our books in June last year. We're slowly getting through that. We've been able to forward people on to other places, which is good. For those that have been able to do telehealth. So we do get a lot of adult referrals from GPs as well because we're developmental psych, so that's birth to old age. I think my eldest client is 86.
Yeah.
We do have
yeah, we have been able to move people onto telehealth. Our wait list at the moment, is, I think we've got about 15, but that's for assessments only. Yeah. We haven't opened up for therapy.
Yeah.
And I understand the absolute need to get assessments done. But there's so many people, behind, and we're all struggling. I wish there was. I've got a magic wand in my room.
Yes.
And I said, I wish we could
wave
this, get rid of this wait list, and help more people.
I know.
We could if we decided that we would open, 24/7 and all that.
Yeah, and you can't.
But we can't. No. We really can't.
When the pandemic happened, what was going through your head? How did you practically manage everything?
That was gosh, that was a head spin.
Yes.
They were just that
moving
was
to Zooms
that was
and...
yeah, that was loose sleep type stuff. Because when you do a psychology degree, they don't teach you how to run a business.
No.
So from a business owner point of view, it was all just the logistic stuff for me.
Yes.
I thought, okay, we've got to close our doors. How then do we still service everyone? Okay, now we've got to transition to telehealth. My gosh. And my kids say I am the most computer illiterate person on the planet.
Yeah.
So you've got to learn a whole new
skill. Okay, you can't do everything.
You didn't need to have that skill.
No. So you have to learn all of this. And then, you go, okay, what platform are we going to use? And what's the confidentiality around it, the security around it, all of that. So we did all of that. And then we offered telehealth, and some people said, no, can't do it.
Yeah.
Get that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely get that. Some people embraced it for a little bit. And that first lockdown, we said, oh, you know what? Let's just have a break.
Yeah.
Let's just have a break. Because it's just so hard for everybody. And we'll get back to it.
We'll work it out. Yes.
Because we just didn't think that it was just going to keep going.
2 years later.
And that we're in Melbourne, and it was just going to keep going on and on and on.
No,
So it was... It was difficult. Some pea shoots took to telehealth just beautifully.
Yeah.
Some didn't.
No.
And that's okay too.
Yeah.
It is.
And so some of those sessions then became talking to the carer, whoever that may have been.
Yeah.
But you still tried to supply, give a service. But it was hard. Oh, and I won't lie. It was exhausting.
Yeah.
Absolutely exhausting for us as well.
Shut the whole thing down.
Allied health and actually just teachers and all the essential workers, I think they're a little bit broken.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And we relied heavily on people and they didn't have anyone to rely heavily on.
Yeah.
And it's just such a unique thing. And how do you step away from it when, you've still got a huge waiting list?
Yeah, that's right.
And I think, number one daughter, is a pediatric OT, but she said it's almost like there are more people on the waiting list post-pandemic because parents spent time with their children and went, actually,
we need an assessment. Something's going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's double.
It's exploded.
Yeah.
It has. It actually has.
Yeah.
It's just
I bet it has.
I mean, it's good
because
these children really deserve this, but also just adding to an already impossible workload.
It's a real system error.
It is a system error.
Yeah. How did you help your staff? What was that responsibility on you?
So all of my psychologists that work for me are contractors, which means that they're their own sort of, business under the Jigsaw umbrella.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
But, we still – so once a month we have peer supervision and practice meetings at the clinic. Of course, we weren't able to do that because usually we have, we get Thai takeaway or pizza and wine. And we just all connect. And so suddenly that was taken away from us because it's not the same over Zoom.
No, it's not the same. And we got sick of Zoom.
Oh,
if you're working on telehealth.
Yeah. And you didn't want to do it at night
doing
as well.
Zooms and you're like, I cannot talk to
it. It was a novel first off.
It was novel.
Yeah.
Remember we were doing trivia and
you do those Zoom parties or those house party things or whatever they were.
Remember?
Gosh, that seems forever ago.
Last lockdown, no one spoke to anyone.
No.
It was that Zoom fatigue. Well, it was just COVID fatigue anyway.
Yeah.
And we
had nothing to say.
No, absolutely not.
Terrible, but everyone who's listened to us knows.
Well, especially in Melbourne, we had nowhere to go, nothing to say. Yeah.
No. So, it has been hard for, I guess the professionals as well. But,
And this is the first year, and I know we're in June now.
Oh, can you believe it's June?
Oh, no, I can't.
But it's the first, we had 2 years of just waiting to be put back into lockdown or masks are coming or density or you can have, you can go to the doctor, you can't go to the doctor, you can go to the therapist. So it's almost like, even though it's sort of some sort of normalcy, it doesn't feel like that. We're waiting to be told.
Oh, absolutely.
What's going to change.
Yep, absolutely.
Were you watching, like, the world and our city just psychologically collapsing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What
yeah.
were you thinking? Like, how were you watching people's Facebook posts and, like, as a psychologist?
It was
you're like, oh, man, he's going down.
Not decorating with the little Kinder tables anymore. I haven't seen a photo of her not in her pajamas. You know, the pink hoodie.
Yeah, yeah, he's got the hoodie on for 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh,
dear. Yeah. No, it was like, yeah, you've got me on that one. I don't know whether I really should say. But
you can say whatever you want. It's funny.
Oh, dear. No, like you do. You people often say to you, you know, do you always try and analyse me? You always, yes. you know, making a judgment on me. I hope I'm not.
Oh, no, not at all.
But you do look and you do think, oh, my goodness, you know, I hope that person's
okay.
getting
yes.
extra help. Yeah.
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 Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one tiny, I will never say there was a good thing about the pandemic, but we really realised, oh, I really need help.
Yeah.
This
oh, yeah.
Is, and it's this okay. is shit and I can't yeah. do it.
And it's okay.
And everybody was saying the same thing. Yeah. People on the news or people that you, you know, respected yeah. and they were like, oh, I'm not coping. And you're like, oh,
yeah,
okay. And I think it's, I mean, we're trying to normalize mental illness, but
yeah.
I think it really did help a little bit with that because.
And I think it, you know, if you start to see high profile people coming out saying, you know, because people do look up at high profile.
Of course they do. It's human nature.
Yeah. They look at Mandy and Kate and go, oh, my goodness.
Of course they do.
They do
the mediocre podcasters.
And
but we were giving a voice to it and we were giving a place where people could ring in and talk
about
it.
And we were saying it's shit.
Yeah.
There's no way of coping.
We were. No. And that's what we needed. That's what we still need.
So,
I think we just have to, you know, people talk about all sorts of illnesses, you know, but it's this, the stigma still around mental health issues that, is frustrating for us, I guess.
I can only imagine. Yeah.
As psychologists. So, you know, and that's why I think, you know, in the hangout I have put in the past about, you know, say my name with red nose and the bereavement and the loss of a baby because I think people tiptoe around that.
They do.
You know, and even still to this day, people say, oh, how many kids have you got? And so for us, you just
say four.
You want to say four, but you don't.
Yeah.
You say three. Because otherwise then there's the whole backstory.
Yeah.
But it does come up because, you know, my Locke, the nearly 24-year-old, has got a tattoo.
Yeah.
And his tattoo is the Japanese character for older sister. And he's got Jess's birth date underneath it on his shoulder. Yeah. And he got that done in Japan. Oh. And then, so that's...
Huge
that's
impact really... on his life.
Oh, yeah, your whole
and
family.
He never even knew her. So.
Yeah.
No, but he knew that he didn't know her and that's the trauma and the sadness forever.
Yeah. And so it's really important that, you know, that people talk about the baby or the child for that family. Don't think that you're protecting the family if you don't talk about them. Yeah.
No,
don't think
because
it's that acknowledgement that actually helps the healing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you love. Love doesn't stop when someone dies. Like love just keeps coming and you're like, what do I do with this love? That's the grief.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you love, you know, your baby. You love Jessica. And then you're like, well, no one's even saying her name. I want to tell everyone how amazing she is.
And so programs like what Rob Red Nose run, the name days are just so important. And I wouldn't be doing the job that I'm doing now if that experience hadn't happened.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess that goes back to what we were talking about earlier on. I would much rather that experience didn't happen.
Yes, of course.
But I'd still be teaching Japanese.
Yes. Where did you used to work? Where was that fancy Japanese shop?
What was the name
what
of
was
it?
Called?
Samurai Japanese restaurant.
No,
is that
no,
the one?
What's the one?
Oh, no.
Like...
Oh, Daimaru.
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 We were saying that out there working at Daimaru.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, my cousin makes at Daimaru.
I know. Oh, my goodness. That's
it'll
a blast
just be
from
generations
the past.
Of people who have no idea what we're talking about.
But it was a really big deal.
It was a big
department
deal.
Store open in Melbourne. And I just remember there were like, baby jumpers for $100.
Oh, no, it was ridiculous.
Was it?
It was early 90s. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Because. I used to also work at the zoo.
Zoo, yeah.
And
we're proud of you for that too.
And I left the zoo to go into teaching, but also to work at Daimaru. So yeah, but Daimaru was just it was an interesting place to work.
I just used to go and walk through there. Catch a train into the city, walk through there, come home.
So that level, so much, where is that? What is
Melbourne
that?
Central.
Melbourne Central.
That's where you got your billboard now, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's just moment to whoever knew.
We would be near
Daimaru.
The Shot Tower. If anyone knows in Melbourne where the Shot Tower is, that was just there.
It's very fancy.
It was when the whole thing was fancy.
It was very fancy, fancy. But anyway, so I left Japanese teaching.
Yeah.
And then while I was studying, though, I still was teaching. I was just doing CRT work at the kids' school. So, and knowing what I know now, I just think, oh, my goodness. We make mistakes as professionals.
Of course.
You know.
Everyone makes mistakes. We're human.
Yeah. But I look back on it and I just think, oh, you know, that child was going through stuff.
Yes.
You know. But I didn't know then because when you're getting trained, I don't know whether – it's now, but when I did my teacher training, you're not taught about learning issues. You're not taught about autism. You're not taught about ADHD, anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping. So anyone it's that different. Is going through now, they can say that
like Deakin Uni, a lot of them listen to our podcast. So I'm assuming that there's been units
a
added.
Shift. Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't oh, there it has just to have be. To be.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's everywhere.
We're everywhere.
Yeah. It absolutely has to be. So and even need I say more? A lot more in the psychology courses.
Yes. Right.
I mean, you would think that would be, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, it is a science too, isn't it? It is, psychology.
Yeah. It is, but there's so many different aspects and there's so many different master's courses.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in terms of administering assessments, I think it needs to be, you know, if you're going to do it, you need to be competent in doing it. So, absolutely.
What would be your number one tip for a family that's thinking about they've been told to contact an education psychologist? What could they expect? What could make it easier for them?
That's a really good question. A really good question.
Because I didn't know it would be like a 3-day assessment for Molly.
That's right.
I didn't know
you need
that.
To make an appointment. You need to make an appointment.
It took days.
And have an intake with the psych who should sit with you and speak to you and let you know exactly what is entailed. So it depends on what you are being referred for.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, with what we do at Jigsaw for, say, ASD assessment, it would be an intake with the parents.
Yep.
Then we would do a cognitive assessment. And everyone runs it differently.
Yeah.
You know, so what we do is we do a cog assessment. So when I talk about a cog assessment, I mean a WPSI or a WISC.
Yep.
Yeah. Is usually sort of about 2 hours, I guess. Yeah. And so we book a 2-hour appointment with a break in the middle, depending on the age of the child. Yes. Some just straight through, you know, and it's
I think
quick.
We did 3 weeks. Like 2 hours each time or 3 hours. Okay. Yeah, something like that.
And then then we do an ADOS, which is just an hour with the child or the adolescent, and then we do a feedback session. And in between all of that, we've also sent out screeners and, you know, online assessments for schools. And I always, when I ask a teacher to fill this out, I say, I'm really sorry because I know they're so busy, you know, and I've been in that other position, that they've got to fill out, and I apologise, but it gives us the big picture.
Yeah.
You know, so to all of the teachers listening out there, like it is so important that we get your perspective on what's going on for this child in another setting that's not home.
Yeah, because parents can completely catastrophise. Different.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and you see
imagine
that.
Things, not imagine, but Yeah, yep. School is a really
school
interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
It gives us a. But having said that, Kate, I also say, you guys know your kids better than anyone else, and you've got to trust your judgment. If there's anything else, I wasn't going to say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like I'd leave it on that. You as parents know more than you think you know.
Yep.
One, and you know your children better than anybody and trust your gut.
Yeah.
If something's not sitting right with you, and that goes to even with us, when you come and see us as psychologists, don't be afraid to say, no, hang on, this isn't working.
Something's not working.
Something's not working. Can we revisit this?
Yeah.
I've done a full 360 on the way that I work too, because when you get trained, I'm going out on a limb here for the profession, but you do. It's let's focus on the deficits and what we can do to change that.
Strength-based.
Yeah.
But isn't that an amazing pivot that I'm just going to say the best therapists have done.
Yeah.
Because there are some clinging on to deficit-based, but it's...
Looking back, you do what you do with what you know the time.
Yeah.
And when I first did all of my study, it was very much ABA focused because I fell into the autism line. My only publication is on functional behavioural assessments.
Right.
Yes.
Now I go, okay, I mean, they are important.
Oh, yeah.
But the way that I practice now is different because it is, seeing the person as a whole person and that strength-based stuff.
You don't have to be fixed.
No, they don't.
No.
Really.
And it's terrible trauma to give to children.
It is.
And even as an adult, if someone says to me, like obviously I am overweight, but if someone says to me, oh, you look great today and you look so healthy, you feel better about yourself and more able to manage things in your life.
Yeah.
Whereas if someone goes, no, you look like you've put on a bit of weight, that your day is done. Someone's pointed out that deficit.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're doing to four-year-olds.
It's crushing.
It is.
Absolutely crushing. So, but it's also getting that message as well across to some parents, not all parents, that – no, you don't need to fix this person.
Yeah.
Really don't.
You don't, yeah. And I think that's...
That takes a while.
It does take a while, because we're going through all of our own grief and trying to process what's going on.
It really does. And one parent probably usually gets it before the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're like, no, this is great. This is good how it is. This and it's, it causes a lot of...
It does.
Trickiness.
It does. And so... a lot, we'll have people booked in for assessments, but then it turns into, we need some ongoing grief counselling. Yes. We need some ongoing therapy, even just for the parents as well, for that acceptance.
Oh, it's enormous.
And then siblings. And then someone's parent goes, hang on, this is all looking a bit familiar.
Absolutely.
Mandy and I know from the podcast the amount of parents that have gone and got diagnoses.
Diagnoses.
It's in... But that's why we have to talk about it, because it's actually just normal to be however you are.
Well, we never, ever, ever used to talk about neurodiversity at all. No, I don't even think it was a word. No, it wasn't a word. No,
Yeah.
We need to now.
Yeah.
It's just,
sure do.
Yeah. And accept and,
it just makes life better.
Yeah.
But it comes down to everything, doesn't it? If people talk talk to one another. We're humans. We are wired for connection. Then if we can talk about it, let's talk about it. It doesn't matter. Let's talk about losing a baby. Don't make it something that's hush. So and it's interesting too that that you hear when you start to tell your stories that other people go, oh, you know what, this happened to me too. Yes. All this happened. And I remember one lady an older lady at one of the churches talk about the fact that she had a stillborn daughter as well. But it was never.
No, she probably never.
No.
You don't, and I think when you don't talk about things, it creates a shame, even though there's no shame.
No.
Mm.
And then when you talk about it, the shame just goes away.
Yeah.
So, it's talking about things is so powerful. And I know that a lot of men have a lot of struggles with being honest and talking, and because they haven't been brought up that way, men our age, right? But I think a lot of women have been forced into not talking because it's shameful to talk about a miscarriage.
Oh,
it's
shameful
to talk about an abortion. It's shameful to talk about, get on with it. You've got a healthy child. Get back on with life.
Be thankful. Be grateful. Just be grateful.
Be grateful.
Be blessed.
Yeah.
I remember after one of my miscarriages, someone said to me, you should just be so grateful you can get pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, of course I am, but right now I'm bleeding.
Yeah.
And I was 12 weeks pregnant and this baby's never going to be. So right now today I'm not really grateful for that. But people, I'll ask you this as a psychologist, why do we always want to force people to look on the bright side when they're going through something really traumatic?
Because that's what
that's what we do. You know, we want to offer words of encouragement. We've been brought up to do that as well.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah.
Do you think it's like a cultural thing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Like we just need to start breaking that down.
Just not be doing that.
I was just going to say, sit with people.
Yeah.
And allow there to be a silence.
Yeah.
Yes. You don't have to feel the silence with words.
No.
You don't have to.
Silence is powerful.
It is.
To sit next to someone who's really sad and just be like, yep, I can be here with you.
One of the things that I use in therapy a lot is I love Brené Brown. And she has this empathy versus sympathy little
animation.
And it is just brilliant if you haven't seen it. It is something that is, really worthwhile because it's true. Empathy is about connecting with a person on the level, you know, and saying, you know what, I don't know what to say right now, but I'm here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, and just, you know, we did that. We've got a chapter in our book, but I think it was a dad, I think, who said, it's like getting in the muck.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to be in here with you right now. I'm not just going to watch you.
No.
I'm going to be with you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being an awesome cousin to me, being like a bigger sister because I'm the big sister.
Yep.
And for seeing me at that time when it was terrible.
Yeah.
And Andrew coming in and going, moo, when I was expressing behind the they're like, do you know him? I was like, yep.
Well, he was working
at the hospital. But, you know, it made me laugh and I really needed people to make me laugh because I couldn't see through myself.
No, absolutely.
Oh, and a little bit of laughter is the
best. Yes, funny.
Do you know what? I still laugh. We had a family reunion just before COVID.
Which was really awesome.
It was really awesome at our place.
We hadn't all been together.
Yeah, we hadn't for long time. Even remember how long.
Yeah.
And anyway, Molly was getting changed in the – it was getting changed in the spare room.
Yeah, she was going to go in the pool.
Yeah. And, you know, in one of my real crafty days, I thought I'd be really good and I'd make – dolls, you know, baby dolls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, and so, and I'd made one that I thought really looked like my eldest son when he was first born. And I was so proud of it. And Molly came out and she, what did she say? These are the most creepy
dolls. There's creepy dolls in that room.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
No.
I'm really proud of that.
But she just. She didn't want to go back in there.
It was the funniest thing ever.
It was so funny.
So anyway, my creepy dolls are now in the walk-in.
No, you don't. But didn't Caitlin say my friends didn't like them?
No one's
this
liked
them.
This was the truth. It was great unveiling. It was so good. It was so good. But anyway, it's just,
it's lovely. And then our whole family has embraced all the differences.
Yep.
And our family has lots of differences.
Yeah.
Interestingly. Yeah.
So I think this is off topic and, you know, feel free to not share, but we were talking off mic about Mandy's dad.
Oh, no.
So putting prawns in your...
Yes, tell that story because we know that my dad is an undiagnosed man. Right, so just remember this. He's nearly
Uncle
72.
Graham. Yeah, Uncle Graham, I love you. Because he also drove our wedding car.
Aww.
And Andrew, I don't know, someone had forgotten the wedding rings. And anyway, he hooned me through the streets of Doncaster to get me up to the church on time. So that was really
loved
good.
It.
Yeah. And then at the honeymoon, at the reception before we went on the honeymoon, unbeknownst to Andrew and myself, and we were going up to Cairns and Port Douglas for 3 weeks, someone had put fresh prawns, because we had our reception at the Cuckoo, and it was this all-you-can-eat buffet.
I was going to say, where did the prawns come from?
Yeah, the Cuckoo. Yeah.
Oh, it's shut now, the Cuckoo.
It is, yeah. And so fresh prawns in the outer zip of my suitcase. And because I hadn't packed anything in there, I thought, I don't need to go. Like, why would I check? Yeah?
As
time went on, because it was pretty hot up in Cairns.
Very
hot. We got married on the 1st of December, so we're talking about, like, the tropo season and humid. Anyway, by the time we got back to Melbourne 3 weeks later, I kept saying to Andrew on the honeymoon, going, something really smells. What's going on? Then we get back anyway, and then when we pulled the suitcase off the luggage thing at the airport, it was like liquid, so it had gone through the top of the case.
Oh my gosh.
So,
And so I was married at 20.
You had new clothes in there.
Oh, yeah, new clothes, but it was a new suitcase. Well, I'd only turned 21 that year, and so I got that as my 21st. Oh, God. And it was Tosca. Like it was,
a proper bag.
It was a proper bag.
You owe her,
unless you do.
It was the funniest thing ever. Yeah, but yeah, anyway. So
did you discover them at the airport?
Yeah, and it was just, yeah, it was.
How did, and then did he?
No, we just had to, Andrew, hosed it all out, and then we tried to, like, you know,
did
resuscitate
that confess,
it.
Or?
No, it's for years. Well, I don't. Well, I knew it was either going to be
him
or
Phil.
Yeah,
I think they did it together.
I think so. But
Phil
each
was
one
who married me.
Yeah. And Phil was our best man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it was both of them, but each one always says. And I see, this is the thing, I still don't know to this day exactly who did it, but I just blame both of them.
Yes, yep.
Fair enough.
Yes, just,
I mean, as a woman. Okay, I would never do it. Funny joke. 2 days into the honeymoon. Say, does anyone know where they're staying? Because I really need to ring the resort and just make sure they found them.
Oh, no.
No. Nobody did.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, so, it's been a sore song.
Janelle and I come from quite a conservative family, and so my dad came in like this wild man.
Yeah.
Was that what it was like?
Yeah.
Obviously your mum was attracted to that, though.
Yeah. She's the youngest of five.
Yeah.
Your dad is the oldest brother.
He's very fun.
Yeah.
He's
very fun.
So he was fun at Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
I've got even visions of him stuffing his face with pavlova, and it's like it was just anyway.
No, precious.
Yeah, no, they were
not
they
the
were,
prawns, but everything else.
Yeah, no, everything else is precious. Yeah,
yeah, family's great.
And those Christmases were important because I didn't know our grandpa, Nana and Papa, I don't remember them.
Yeah,
It was in.
Like, so they died 1981. Yeah. So I was year seven.
I was five.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's been interesting as Mum has been talking more about being a motherless mother.
Yeah.
So interesting that no one even probably even put that together.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Because, again, you just do it.
Yeah,
like you
that's
just,
right.
You know, you just get on with
and
what
we don't talk
do.
About death.
No.
So we just, you know, you send someone a bunch of flowers and then the next time we talk to them, we don't
get them
about
a lasagna.
Yes,
that's right.
And then we're done.
And then we're done and we move on and life goes on. And that's true. Life does continue for everybody else. That's
yeah, right. But so does grief.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
No one, obviously, gets out of this whole little system alive. But you're also someone you love will die. That's
absolutely.
The sad truth.
Yeah,
so the more you realise, you do wake up in the night crying before you're awake, you're crying.
Yeah.
That's real grief. Mm. It's, you know, to your core. That's normal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, you often get told, you know, time heals.
No.
And I don't believe time heals, but what it allows, a bit like what I was talking about earlier on in the portrait, is that your life grows around the grief.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And all the other experiences shape the person that you are. So I know you do as well, talk about, you know, pre-Mandy.
Yeah.
And that's so
of
the
course.
Janelle back then.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not the Janelle that is now. Like I said, I'd still be teaching Japanese. I wouldn't have gone into psychology.
Yeah.
That's
and do
right.
what I do now. So.
Yeah.
Very true.
Have we missed anything that you would like to tell?
I think the big take-home message is, and I've alluded to it because I say it all the time to my families, you know your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah? Trust your gut.
Yeah.
And you know more than you think you know.
Yeah.
Yeah? And even in those times when it is so, so hard and there's the shower cries, I do the shower cries.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah? And we have my family says to me, oh, Janelle, Mum, you're having a neural hijacking because, you know. Because I tend to, like, yell. Guess what? I yell.
Yeah,
that's okay. Yeah, I have my neural
hijacking.
There must
be a reason why we can yell. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. No, well, yeah, because your amygdala is hijacked. Yeah. Anyway, when you're doing all of that, when you just trust that it's real for you at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do what you have to do.
Yeah.
To get through those moments.
Yeah.
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 It's some.
Thank you.
That's true.
It is true. It doesn't matter what anybody else is saying.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But as humans, we compare, don't we? And we look and we go, oh, yeah, that person over there seems to be coming really well. Or, whatever. No. Take it from.
And you never know.
You don't.
And one thing, having this amazing podcast is the amount of people that look like they've got their shit together that message us or come up to us. I'm like, oh, great, you don't have your shit together either.
Perfect. No,
you can look like you have your shit together without having your shit together.
No, that's absolutely. Yep.
We welcome it.
It's very powerful.
Thank you.
Admit.
Thank you for sharing your story
thank
with
you
us.
For yeah, having
peas
you
are
going
to love
here.
It.
Yes.
And thanks for it's vulnerable to
it
talk about this. So yes. Thank you. Oh.
Thank you for sharing her, Mandy.
Oh, I know.
It's very nice to...
Lots of amazing people in my world.
Yeah, and to get a window into someone's family, because yeah. families are tricky and, you know, we have beautiful peas that don't have that.
Yes.
But it's really lovely when you do have it.
Yeah.
And, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I have you. A big, lovely, supportive family.
Yeah.
With really. All the quirks that come with a family.
Yeah, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, yep. So, Janelle and Jessica's story is a big part of our whole family.
Of course.
It's a real privilege to hear it.
Yeah.
I feel honoured she's shared it with us.
Yes, me too.
And then to also hear the journey of being a psychologist and what is that like and
What's it like now?
Yeah. Yeah, and I hope that if you are a psychologist, you've heard a bit of how she's felt and that that encourages you going forward coming out of this pandemic.
Yep.
And if
and
you
other
feel
people
tired
are feeling it too,
then to know that that's okay. And I wanted, she said, oh, is that okay that we said that? I said, I want professionals to be able to talk about how tired they are.
Oh,
it's okay.
Absolutely.
You're human. I was tired with my sleep work. I had to have,
a little break.
I felt a bit broken working with families through 2020. And so I understand that from my own perspective.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope reach out to us in the Hangout or reach out and let us know if you go to her digital psychology, because most of my friends I've sent you there with your kids. So I said, I can't go there.
No,
gosh,
you can't.
Gosh darn it.
No.
It's very annoying. Anyway, okay, what made you cry this week?
Well, I've got two things. I've got a certificate, which I'll read in a second. And then I have been comfort rewatching Schitt's Creek.
Nothing better.
Nothing better. And there are things that I missed the first couple of times around. But anyway, yesterday I watched the last episode, which was the wedding. I sent Mandy a Snapchat.
Yeah.
Just Moira crying.
Oh, no.
And not even accepting she's crying. I just love everything about that family.
Oh, no.
And all the love in that final episode and how you can love such flawed people.
I just
can't love Schitt's Creek enough. I think it's my favourite TV show of all time.
It's very,
and it's
very
been beautiful
good.
To rewatch it and just soak it all in.
Yeah.
And David and Patrick.
Oh, no.
The best love story of all time.
Did you watch the final
ending?
Show where they,
sobbing. I'm not going to watch that again.
End.
Why do I want?
No.
But also ending on a good note I really like. It didn't get tired.
No.
Anyway, we also went to Canberra, as you will have heard
us
talk about in our Snap
Pea. We
if you didn't
there.
Listen on Monday, we went. Sydney, I think the show's quite good. We're trying to find Brisbane, so we will get around to you all eventually.
It was amazing we got there. We couldn't believe it. We just couldn't believe.
We couldn't.
Through illness and everything that we got there.
So we did. And we gave out some certificates. And, of course, we had to give our Yasmin a certificate.
Yes.
Because she's super certificate peak.
Yes. So we invited Yasmin up and also Nacho Bin Melissa.
Yes, we
which
did.
Which was really funny.
So Yasmin then made me this certificate.
Yeah.
And I should just preface this by saying that we had had vomiting in the house the week before I went to Canberra. So this certificate of appreciation is presented to Kate for literally, and I'm not even exaggerating, making my year at the Canberra show, especially after an extra difficult month, for lending me an ear when you did not even know me. I do know you.
Yeah.
For catching vomit for the 28,567th time and just for being the amazing person you are, I still can't believe you are real.
Yeah.
Anyway, I cried.
I know, beautiful.
And I've printed it out and she's just one of the best humans on the planet.
She is.
And we're so lucky to have her in our tribe. And, we love you, Yasmin.
Yes.
Mm. What about
she
you?
She made one for myself and for Molly.
And Lorraine. Yep.
And I read it out to Molly for her doing her work experience.
Yep.
And she was like, print that out. I mean, it's just so
awesome. Who knew
awesome.
Certificates could bring us such joy?
I know. Well, if they're authentic and they're real and they talk about the real things, they're amazing.
Oh, amazing.
But I had a cry yesterday because one of Molly's most favourite teachers died.
Oh, yes.
And so we had the funeral yesterday.
Teacher?
Yes, it was a performing arts teacher. He had a stroke at school.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Huge trauma.
He'd been sick for a long time, but it was
the funeral looked amazing.
It was the most amazing funeral.
Yeah, there was
performing arts teacher of a specialist school.
Oh.
I mean, right? So we watched it on Zoom.
Yep.
The whole school was given the link.
Yep.
And so I just thought, I don't know how this is going to go for Molly because she really loved this teacher.
And how old was he?
He was 67.
Oh, too young.
Yeah, but he had cancer. And anyway, I'm going to say his name. His name is Tony Walker.
Yeah.
And he had been a teacher at Rossbourne. He'd been a teacher at a lot of different schools. So a lot of people in our P world will know him.
Mm.
And I remember meeting him when I did a tour in grade 5 of the high school.
Yep.
And at the time, I will confess, I was a bit prickly about what he said, but actually I think it's really gorgeous. Yep. And he said, all of you here, you are coming to a select entry school.
Yes.
And I remember just thinking, yeah, but I don't want to be in this select entry school. Yeah. I want to be in the one of the really fancy pants school. But he smiled when he said it. And he gave us something that was like, yeah, you know, we are. Yeah. We are in a select entry school.
Yeah.
Right? Our precious kids.
Mm.
So, yes. Unfortunately, we haven't had the chance to do productions in the last couple of years.
What a shame.
But, yeah, so Molly and I sat and watched. So the service started with the whole place singing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
Amazing.
so I'm singing along. Molly's like, what is this? Because I think the celebrant said it's normally only religious funerals where you get to have sing-alongs.
Yes, it is.
And Tony was like, no, I want everyone to sing.
Yeah.
So the whole thing was singing and it was just
so
whistling.
So had he planned his funeral?
It was just awesome. Yeah, he must have planned it. Monty because he was a performing arts man.
Oh, I love it.
So, anyway, so she was moved and it was nice for her to hear how much he loved working at her school.
Yes.
Yeah, and she said he was the life of the party.
Oh, I bet he
was. Yeah, so he's going to be really missed at their school. And I just thought there is an era of teacher that's probably going to be gone soon.
Yes, and all that knowledge.
Yeah, wisdom and time and a bit of fun.
A lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't know him personally.
No.
But
I just thought
it was really precious to be able to be a part of his funeral.
Yeah,
we cried, but we also laughed.
Yeah, as funerals should be.
Yes, it was all the emotions. Wow, this was a really great funeral.
Yes. And
I said, Kate, apart from your dad's, this was a good one.
Thank you. So my make a difference, it's sort of a weird make a difference, but I think you'll get it when we go there. I just wanted to say that it's Pride Month and I just think we have the most amazing P community. And I just want to shout out to all our LGBTQI plus P's and P shoots.
Mm.
You know, this month is for you, but our podcast, we just embrace diversity,
all
diversity.
We sure do.
And I feel like we have a safe place to be who we are, whatever that is, sexuality, neurodiversity, disability,
anything.
You know, anything. And I think it's
ultra feminine, not anything, you know.
Anything you
can be, whoever you want to be.
You can be in our community and there's no judgment and it's a tiny snippet of what the world could be. And, I just wanted to shout that out because it makes a huge difference to our lives. Yeah. So,
thanks for being part of our gang.
Yeah, thanks for being a part of our team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you add so much.
I should also say that our pod dog has snuck in and she's
pod dog.
She really is wanting some love and some snuggles.
Hello.
So.
So my – was that you make a difference?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So mine was obviously going to Canberra.
Yes.
That I said it on the stage. Thank you to everybody who came.
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, we just
speechless.
We had my boys had the flu, leading up to Canberra. Thank God I got sick literally the day we left.
Yeah,
not thank God I got sick, but thank God I could do
the
show.
Yeah.
We had the flu and gastro. Yep. I think so. That was fun. Not COVID, despite the millions of rat tests that the boys insisted on doing. Mandy had the flu in her house.
Yep, I really did.
She had work experience with me. I just can't believe I had my 50th the week before. I don't know what we were thinking. But anyway, it was awesome.
We did it.
And it was – Catherine was beyond helpful.
Ultimate P.
Ultimate.
She's the lady who made the felt peas, if you see them in our Instagram.
She did our backdrop, if you saw any photos from the show. Like, better than we could have ever done. Went on the day and bought us a pink and green tablecloth for our table.
We just can't describe.
You can't.
And we were just like, just No, you just need a woman.
You need a woman.
She just, you know, we can trust her. She 100%. Just did such a great job.
She did an awesome job.
To meet you afterwards. We had to do a no hugging ban, which is really hard for us.
We didn't want to give you sick or catch sick.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you, Canberra, for having us. What a beautiful, peaceful city.
Oh.
I just so I can see why people love it here.
Yeah. You were awesome, and we probably didn't. I don't know if we said it on the show. I probably have said it, but our live P, Matthew, who he was like, oh, you don't have to go to Canberra. There's not enough listeners to make it worth your money.
Yeah.
And, we didn't care. That was his job to make money. And we were like, oh, no, we're going. The Chatterpie's there.
Oh, yeah. And that's not our main goal.
No, it's not our main goal. As long as we can cover costs.
We know we've got loyal people in Canberra. And you all came out.
Love when you all had dinner together. Nothing makes me happier.
It was really, really, really lovely.
Yes. The venue was lovely.
Yes.
You know, was good. We had a really lovely weekend.
We did. So, yes, thank you, Canberra.
Yep. Okay. So my laugh this week is... This was when Buzz was sick and I went into his room to give him Nurofen. Like, he did not get out of bed for a week. That's weird for us, right? And I was just wearing a very long T-shirt, which is fetching. I'm sure you can all imagine. Take a moment to picture. And he was just like staring at my amazing yet stumpy legs. And I was like, what? And he was like, well, Mum, I will never body shame anyone. I can't, can I, with my legs? But that is interesting. And we both just laughed. And I was like, well, it is interesting, isn't it? Because your legs are muscular and, you know, they work really well for you and long.
That's right.
And mine are not.
Yes.
And it was interesting to compare our bodies.
He was just looking at you.
He was just like, staring. But also woken
what am
up
I gonna
to
say?
Go,
yeah.
I'm not, and he's like, he has been body shamed his whole life.
Yes, that's right.
Like, I'm not going to do
better
that.
Than anyone.
This is interesting
in
this scenario.
My laugh, the Canberra people know this, is that I don't know what I was thinking, but I got to the airport at Melbourne
and I
went through the beep, 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 beep thing, the X-ray thing, and my bag got taken off the thingy. And the guy was, and it was just like beep, beep, beep. I was like, what is in my bag?
Yeah.
And then he goes, you got scissors in your bag.
The name of our show is Where's the Scissors?
So in my mind, I thought I'll put some scissors on the merch table. And so I just put them in my carry-on bag. And then he goes, you've got two pairs of scissors in here. And I was by myself because I was flying by myself. So I had no one to laugh with. I was chuckling away. They must have thought this woman.
I cannot explain to you why this is funny.
I know. I couldn't say, well, our show's called Where's the Scissors? And I was just going to like put them on the merch table.
Now we don't have any. So where are they?
No scissors. So anyway, I sent a video to Kate and she
was laughing a lot. And to back up that laugh, when we got to Canberra, Mandy actually went out and bought a pair of scissors, which those of you who are coming to the show, you'll know why. And it was very important that they remain in their packet.
Yes,
and
very.
P-friend Lorraine just sat quietly at the table. Mandy and I were right next door. We were just sitting
in the
room. And she goes, oh, I've opened the scissors for you.
We're like, no! Don't open them. We wanted them in the pack.
She's like, people are going to hear this story, aren't they? We're like,
Lorraine.
Yes,
she was like, what?
And she'd done so many other like
little
really.
Little job. Not little, lots of jobs.
Smart things.
Yes.
You know, very well, in tune with us. And then
she anyway, didn't know.
She then resealed them.
She did.
It took a long time putting them back together. And I just laughed and laughed.
And I thought, for those of you that think we were living it up, we were watching House Hunters International.
We were.
Right, the night before.
And eating. Yeah. Well, we did have nice cheese from Coles.
We did. Yeah.
But, yeah, we were in our jammies, off.
We were.
People were like, what restaurant are you at? It's a nice cheese platter we're having right now. With hints of Europe that we're seeing on the House Hunters International.
We're living it up.
And we enjoyed the quiet.
I did. I really enjoyed a bit of rest and a bit of space.
The
so
quiet.
Yeah, so, I did. So thank you.
Yeah, you won't get us complaining about quiet.
No. So Sydney, if you can, there is tickets. There is two shows.
Yep.
It's a little bit deceiving when you're going to our website.
Think it's
just so you go to 2Ps in a podcast and it says Sydney, it says 4:30. But if you click into that, you'll see there's a 4:30 and a 7.
Yep.
7 or 7:30?
Yeah.
So there is two options for shows. We would really love you to come.
We really, really would.
Yeah.
And
We did the two options so that we could meet and greet.
Yeah, that's right. And or some peas can, you know, Sydney's big enough to have two shows.
Yeah, it is. So but if,
yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't find a venue that allowed meet and greet, so that way we can meet and greet.
See you afterwards, yeah. Now, if anybody wants to organise a Sydney dinner, I've had people contacting me saying, is there one? I'm not on Facebook. Can you let me know?
Yeah.
So if someone wants to.
Let us know.
Let us know. Either you could maybe even do an after and a pre.
Yeah.
You know, if there's somewhere around there. Anyway, I'll leave that up to you, Sydney Peas. Yep. But we're excited to come.
We're coming. It's like 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, that's right. We're coming. So, yeah, we can't wait to see you. So, anyway, thank you.
Rate and review,
keep sending
please.
Us reviews.
We love them.
Still read them.
We really do.
And we really love new people writing stuff that they've just found us. It's so lovely.
It's so lovely.
So if you're old, you can still write another review.
You really can. And if you're new, you can review.
Yeah, thank you. Okay,
right.
See you.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.